This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
KQAL and Winona State University are proud to present Over the Back Fence, a community variety show from the St. Main Theater in Lanesboro, Minnesota. Now, here is Over the Back Fence, hosted by Damon Presteman on the live feed.
Hello. Welcome, everyone. Join me now in giving a great, warm Lanesboro welcome to Damon Presteman.
Good evening, and welcome to Lanesboro's presentation of Over the Back Fence. We're celebrating our 25th season. You can listen to Over the Back Fence on KQAL on Wednesday or anytime online. Our special musical guest tonight is the Turnip Truck. I'm Damon Presteman, your host, and tonight we're going to talk about baseball. You guys like baseball? I hate baseball. So when I saw the list of themes coming up this year, I was very disappointed in tonight. Let me tell you a little story. I was in sixth grade baseball, thought I was a really good center fielder. I could run like the wind, except I had one minor problem. I couldn't catch the ball. Now, if you were sitting close enough, maybe some of you in the front row can see that there's a scar across my forehead. I had that ball all sized up, and it decided to fall just past the tips of my gloves. I cried all the way to the emergency room, and then I quit playing baseball. I probably should have quit sooner than that, because as a sixth grader, earlier in the year, I thought it would be cool to be a big leaguer, you know, and wear my pants up around my knees with those fancy baseball socks, and, you know, wear my hat way down low, and maybe chew some tobacco. Then when I slid into second base, and the second baseman decided to tag me in the stomach, well, you can figure out the rest of what happened. That second base was no longer white. By the way, for the record, I haven't chewed any tobacco since then. So that's the good news. Well, we are going to celebrate the game of baseball. It may not feel like spring outside, but it is spring. Baseball is being played. And we're going to celebrate a little bit of that tonight. We're going to start off with the Over the Back Fence game, shall we? Yeah. Oh, thank you. By the way, for those of you listening at home, first of all, why aren't you here tonight? And second of all, we've got a 78-piece band that will be backing up the singers tonight.
Drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today. We're Bill Nye, watching it from the bench. You know I took some lumps when the mighty pace struck out.
No clarinet.
I'm sorry, no clarinet. I'm so sorry. There's no clarinet. There's no clarinets in baseball. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I see you across the fence. What do you have for us tonight?
Well, you know, it says something about the past. So I got a little poem here, and it's entitled First Girls in Little League Baseball. 1974, when Title IX of the Education Act was signed. The year was 1974, when little leaguers learned the score. President Ford took out his pen and signed the law that said from then on, women too would have the chance to wear the stripes and wear the pants. Now what you hear as flags unfurl is attaboy and attagirl. Yeah. As I was driving home from work one day, I stopped to watch a Little League baseball game that was being played in a park near my home. As I sat down behind the bench on the first baseline, I asked one of the boys what the score was. We're behind 14 to nothing, he answered with a smile. Really? I said. I have to say, you don't look very discouraged. Discouraged? The boy asked with a puzzled look on his face. Why should we be discouraged? We haven't been up to bat yet.
I'm wearing a Lanesboro Excelsior's baseball cap this evening. I also wore short sleeve shirts and with a thought that it's springtime. It's time for celebrating fair weather and baseball. My story is reminiscing about baseball. In 1860, baseball was originally played, and that was actually 9 years before Lanesboro was settled. 1860, that was before the Civil War. The rules were much different then, but I wrote this story in 2014 originally about the Lanesboro Excelsiors, called Reminiscing About Baseball. Back then it was baseball, two words, not baseball. I grew up outside Milwaukee. I was an impressionable 11-year-old when the Milwaukee Braves won the World Series in 1957, long before they became the Atlanta Braves. I have vivid memories of my grandfather taking me to County Stadium. I also remember when the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants were both from New York, and when the Oakland Athletics were from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. I remember that the Minnesota Twins were originally the Washington Senators from our nation's capital. What most people don't remember is that the Lanesboro Excelsiors baseball team, originally founded in 1854, was from Brooklyn, New York, a real hotbed of old-time baseball. According to Wikipedia, the Excelsiors were the National Association champions in 1860. Wikipedia needs to be updated with a new entry because in 2013 and until 2016, the Excelsiors began playing at Phoenix Field in Lanesboro, a real hotbed of vintage baseball. The legendary owner, coach, and pitcher was Gordon Pops Tindall. Seeing the Excelsiors back in action playing barehanded vintage baseball using rules and uniforms that were used in 1869 was a real treat. At about the same time, during the late 1860s, the railroad was bringing immigrant workers and building materials west from the Mississippi River Valley to Lanesboro. The mostly flat rail bed followed alongside the mostly flat but meandering stream bed of the Root River. One century later, the abandoned railroad right-of-way was converted to the Root River bike trail. So what's the difference between being vintage and obsolete? You might ask. Well, baseball is vintage, but the railroad is obsolete. Before riding the 70-mile-long bike trail 7 years ago, I decided to invest in some new saw-up tires for my old, but not obsolete, Raleigh 10-speed. The proprietor of the bike shop here in Lanesboro informed me that he didn't have saw-ups. Bummer. The repairman and a prominent bike dealer in St. Paul tactfully informed me that I wouldn't find SOAPs there either. They're obsolete. I recounted my dilemma to Louise, who promptly informed me, "Richard, you're obsolete." Well, I may be vintage, but I'm not obsolete. So I gave up my quest for obsolete tires and became a vintage baseball fan instead. The Excelsiors played their final game 2 years ago against their arch rivals, the Highland Prairie Hayseeds, on October 12th at Ed Sandness Field in Highland. I wouldn't have missed it. By the way, the Vintage Baseball Association has a Facebook page. Check it out. There are teams all across the country. Thank you.
Goes off to some
of our sponsors, including FNM Community Bank, Granny's Liquor, Great River Shakespeare Festival, Green Gables Inn, High Court Pub, and the Lanesboro Area Community Foundation. Well, as I look over the fence, I see an interesting group of people. This is Tom, Connor, and Kara. I wonder what you have for us.
Saturday summers when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains, we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop and first. The last ones they picked were the worst. I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I just took up my place in right field. Playing right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. I dream of the day that they'd hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball would never come out to me. Here in right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Off in the distance, the game's dragging on. There's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. Don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling, and I don't know what for. Then suddenly, everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky, and I look up above. And the baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field, it's important, you know. You gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow.
At the Bat. And this was originally called Casey at the Bat, a Ballad of the Republic, sung in the year 1888. It's by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. He was born in 1868, and he wrote this poem for the Daily Herald, it was called at the time, under the pen name Phil. When he was in college, his nickname was Philly. We're going to have audience participation, Casey at the Bat. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, but with one inning left to play. And when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a sickly silence fell upon the patrons of the game.
A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to that hope that springs eternal in the human breast. They thought, if only Casey could but get a whack at that, we'd even put up money now with Casey at the bat.
But Flynn preceded Casey, as did also Jimmy Blake. And the former was a Lulu, and the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey's getting to the bat.
But Flynn let drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted, and men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second, and Flynn a-huggin' third.
Then from 5,000 throats and more, there rose a lusty yell.
Casey! Casey!
It rumbled through the valley, it rattled in the dell. It knocked upon the mountain and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat.
There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing and a smile on Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat.
10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt.
Casey! Casey!
Then, while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance gleamed in Casey's eye. A sneer curled Casey's lip.
And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in haughty grandeur there. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey.
"Strike one,"
the umpire said.
From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar.
Roar!
Like the beating of the storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him!"
Kill the umpire!
Shouted someone on the stand. And it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand.
With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the spheroid flew. But Casey still ignored it, and the umpire said,
"Strike two."
Cried the maddened thousands, and echo answered fraud. But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again.
The sneer is gone from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball, and now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow.
Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
There we go. I'd like to just take a minute or two to review that skit. The part of Casey was played by someone holding a script and yet never spoke. I was a little shocked by that. And the umpire came from, like, as the voice of God. Very confusing. Unfortunately, Casey struck out. then apparently it was all right to kill the umpire, which makes me feel like that's why we have a little trouble finding good umpires. We killed them all. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you may know this, but a bunch of us are in this blues band, and we're called the Rutabaga Brothers. And a couple years ago, there were some of us that decided we were not done with playing in the summertime. Apparently, Rutabaga Brothers are only in season between May and September. And so after that, we decided, you know, I think it's probably time for us to be able to have some fun, maybe doing some other tunes, maybe not blues. And so please join me in welcoming our special musical guest tonight, the Turtle Truck! Now, of course, it is baseball season, it is spring, in spite of what Mother Nature is trying to tell us. We thought it would be appropriate to start our little set tonight with a classic tune. It's called the Baseball Boogie. Let's see how it goes. It goes something like this. When I pitch, can you hold the ball? When I pitch, will you swing and fall if you play? You gotta know how it's done. Cause strike one, strike two, strike three, right, yeah. Oh yeah. Can you hit the ball that I throw to you? Southpaw, can you hit the ball? Better get your bag ready and see what you do. Here's your chance to sing along. Go like this. Get your bat ready, baby.
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 Strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out of here. Here comes Mr. Lee Lurch on the horn.
And we live beneath the waves. to play. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine.
Yeah.
wild thing.
We're gonna win. the Minnesota Twins today. We're gonna win, Twins, give it our all. We've got the guys who knocked the cover off the ball. Let's hear it now for the team that came to play. Cheer for the Minnesota Twins today. Woo!
No, you don't.
There we go.
Oh, darn. Who knew the Twins played on Halloween there? That was something I don't think I'd ever heard before. And that intro was certainly very, very interesting.
That's the way they normally keep me back here.
All right, joining me on stage tonight is a good friend of mine. It's Joel Halsing. And it's baseball time, and there's one thing that we have been missing, considering it's baseball time, and so we're going to share it with you right now.
Damon, I understand you're going to be playing for the Leroy Irwicks this year. And just so happens that I'm going to be the manager of that team, as it's kind of ironic in a way. So I know all the guys on the team, and I'd like to familiarize you with some of them. They have odd names. A lot of them have nicknames.
Oh, sure.
And
you mean funny names?
Yeah, strange name. Pets names like Dizzy Dean and...
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean. Oh, I see. Well, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know is on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know is on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach too?
Yes.
And you don't know the fellow's names?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who's on first?
I'm asking you, who's on first?
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
What? Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yeah.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
Okay. All I'm trying to find out is the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets the money.
That's it.
Who gets the money on first base?
He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. Well, what's wrong with that?
Okay. Let me be more clear. Look, all I want to know is when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name to the contract?
Who?
The guy.
Who?
How does he sign it?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is, what's the guy's name on first base?
No, that's on second base.
No. Don't even start. I'm not asking who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time, please.
Well, don't change the players around.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
All I'm asking you is, who's the guy on first base?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No, that's... What is on second?
Oh, really? Seriously? I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know who's on first.
Oh, he's on third. Well, not talking about him. Now, let's go back to first.
Now, how did I get on third base?
Well, you mentioned his name.
If I mentioned the third base name, third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on first?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Back on third again. Will you stay on third base and don't go off of it?
All right. What do you want to know?
Okay. Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
No. What is on second?
You don't want who on second?
No. Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Look. You got... Listen. This is starting to frustrate me. Look, you got an outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I
Just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
I'm not. Stay out of the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, that... What is on second?
I'm not asking you what is on second.
No, who's on first?
I don't know who's on third.
Third base.
Okay. And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
No, he's center field. Well, that's the fellow's name.
Look. You got a pitcher?
Sure.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you then.
Well, go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
At what time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching? Who is on...
I'll break your arm if you say who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Okay. Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today? And tomorrow's pitching?
No, you've got it right.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. You know, I'm a catcher, too.
So they tell me.
I get the behind the plate. I do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up.
Yep.
Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw the guy out at first base. So I pick up the ball, and I throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing that you've said that's right.
Yeah, but I don't even know what I'm talking about!
Well, that's all you have to do.
Okay, is throw the ball to first base?
Yes.
Okay, now who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally?
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
That's what I said.
You're not saying that.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
That's what I said.
Listen, you ask me.
Okay. I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
Same as you.
You just changed them around.
No, same as you. I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball. The guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball? Throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up and it's a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a... Darn.
Oh, what?
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Cole Holton. If you walk up the passage, you have it in the house. Holy moly. Very frustrated.
Wow.
Felt like I was talking to one of my ex-wives. I had to get one ex-wife joke in. I've been on a roll for like 3 months in a row. Well, you know, a baseball game wouldn't be a baseball game without the seventh inning stretch. So we're going to give you guys a chance to sing along with us as we enjoy our seventh inning.
Buy me some peanuts and cracker jacks.
And big thank you goes out to Andy Batstone from Ed Batstone CPA. And of course, the turnip truck being here tonight. And the entire Over the Back Fence gang. It's our pleasure to be here. We'll see you Sunday afternoon on Sacred Day and next month right back here. I'm David Pestman. Thank you so much, everybody, and have yourself a great evening. One more time.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back for it. Root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
For it's 1, 2, 3
strikes, you're out.
Thanks again to all who make Over the Back Fence possible, the volunteer cast, crew, and sponsors of the Lanesboro Arts Center. Over the Back Fence takes place the second Friday of every month, March through November, at the St. Main Theater in downtown Lanesboro. More info on Over the Back Fence can be found at overthebackfencelanesboro.blogspot.com and on Facebook. I'm Bill Stoneberg, thanking you for listening to the live feed.
Thanks for listening to the live feed. The live feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.